The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to the Tantric Lounge with noted expert on sex, love, and intimacy, Jacqueline Hellier. In our program, we'll discuss not only the nature of sex and the spirituality of sex, but also the science of sex. Now, here is one of Australia's leading experts on sex and love, Jacqueline Hellier.
Hello, I'm Jacqueline Hellier, and this is the Tantric Lounge. Welcome to yet another show where we talk sex, science, and spirituality and take you on a journey to your full human potential by incorporating your sexuality and the wonder of what it is to be a sexual being and how that adds to your life infinite creativity and joy, zest, and meaning. And joining me as ever is my creative collaborator and co-host, Xavier Waterkane.
Funny you should talk about incorporating your sexuality, because being a wordsmith, I'm taking that literally as meaning putting it into your body, which is where it usually, most people think it usually is. Mm-hmm. But that implies that if you're incorporating your sexuality, that a lot of your sexuality is actually outside of your body and in a rather different energy space altogether.
Yes, and that's the problem with so many modern Westerners, is that we're not incorporating our sexuality. We sort of keep it over there somewhere, and every so often sort of like tap into it when we're feeling horny or think we should be, or and take with that all a lot of crap and confusion around, well, what is this sexuality? Well, what is all of this about?
So part of the tantric approach is to recognise that the energetics extend beyond the body.
Yes.
And you actually are drawing energy into the body as well.
Yes, and you're generating the energy within your body. You're tapping into your sexuality, your sexual energy, and using that within your body and sharing that with your partner if you have one.
Oh.
Interestingly, it's not just about the sex act, and it's not just about being with another partner or something like that, which is what we tend to think of as sex in the West.
And it's not just about muscles, nerves, and movement.
No,
about subtler stuff.
Well, it is, and it's also about that sense of being uplifted. You know, so often when we're feeling uplifted and joyful and, life's good, that's coming from like a sexual energy. That's what we're talking about, and you can use that energy.
Which is where you were taking people a couple of weeks ago with the first Tantric Lounge, the live.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, yes. I would love to dedicate today's show to sharing with the listeners what we did at the Tantric Lounge live.
This is for real people going, rather than the virtual stuff, this is for real human bodies getting into the same room at the same time to do this sort of stuff.
Yes. So there were 22 people came along in a beautiful, beautiful yoga studio in Sydney. And we spent 3 hours engaging in some rather gorgeous activities.
All right. So why, again, tantric and why the lounge?
Yes. Good time to revisit that concept. Why do I call this radio program and so much of what I do the Tantric Lounge? Okay. So tantra is about, well, I see it as incorporating both the art and the science of sex and seeing it as this very whole thing, and it's very transpersonal. I mean, I see myself as a transpersonal coach in many ways, because we're integrating all the different levels of being as a human, the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual.
And you also work a lot on contextualizing sexuality, so it's not just something that's done in the bedroom. It's something that's a life force that you tap into for all sorts of reasons, and you can actually use it in any context in which you're interacting with life.
Absolutely. It's very much a creative energy that we're dealing with here.
Nevertheless, for the modern Westerners who are a bit out of touch with all of this woo-woo, wah-wah at spaced out like man, like wow.
Yeah, it's also stuff. Cosmic.
Wow. You do have the lounge space in which that can happen every Sunday. So, yes. Well, not every Sunday, but every once a month.
Yeah. So the reason I call it the lounge is a couple of reasons for that, because a lounge is a lovely space where people gather and relax and chat and share and so forth. It also brings to mind, and it's more, you're aware of back in France, they had the salons.
Oh, les salons du
jeu. Yes.
Where witty people would talk about witty things. Oh, what's the latest from that naughty man who has written all of these interesting things? Yes, I know the title.
They were often brought together by intelligent kind of women, social women, were often the ones who ran the salons.
Yes.
And all the young men and, you know, intellectuals of the day and artists and so forth would gather and share.
And they'd play cards and they'd read books and they'd share interesting thoughts. In fact, the whole humanistic movement that I've forgotten what it was. It's called not the rational movement, but the movement of intellect playing a greater role in life rather than just religion.
Yes.
The inquiries into science and all of that sort of stuff. People would discuss these things at the salon.
Yes.
So the idea of the tantric lounge is the modern version of the salon where people who want to bring things to each other can.
Yes. And that's very much kind of the energy behind it. And the focus is on sexuality and spirituality, but also, yes, the intellectual rigor behind it as well, because I do believe too many people who get involved in Tantra are the, oh, yeah, it's also cosmic.
Which is fine.
Well, look, if that's their gig, that's their gig. But you
like to have a little bit more brain cells behind.
Yes, I like to think of myself as the mystic intellectual.
Yes, the thinking person sex coach.
Yes, and there's a lot of people out there that want this meaning and this connection and so forth as well. So
you could call this sex for not dummies.
Sex for not dummies.
So there you
got to write a book on that.
I've got to, maybe one of the ones that we collaborate on.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so that leads us into who are the loungers? Who's attracted to the tantric lounge and why?
Yes. Well, we've already just mentioned that these are thinking people. But I also want to describe people, and I imagine so many of our listeners would relate to this concept too, of being sensual explorers, right? And when I say sensual, I mean that in much broader sense than, you know, touchy-feely, let's have sex kind of things. It's people who want to engage fully in this physical experience that we're having here.
Yeah, people who don't just want to intellectualize about stuff.
Yes.
So even though you're attracting thinking people, you're not attracting people who just want to be academic about this all the time. You're people who actually want to get down and feel things.
Feel.
As well as think them through.
And it's very much about the feeling, because just as we've put sex in a bit of a box over there, we've really...
She's pointing to her left. Not necessarily the boxes on people's lefts, but...
Well, it's somewhere.
It's somewhere.
Yeah.
Now she's pointing to the right.
I don't know.
You don't know. It's
where's
somewhere.
Your box, eh?
Where's my box? I don't know where my box is.
I'm telling you.
I'm sure I've left it somewhere.
Now I've completely lost my train of thought.
People...
Yes. So just as we've sort of compartmentalised sex, we compartmentalise the intellectual and we compartmentalise the physical.
And the emotional.
And people often sort of will try and categorise themselves and put themselves in a box. Oh, I'm an intellectual, or, oh, you know, I'm a physical kind of a jock. Or
like I'm a wild spaced out cosmic woo-woo person.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've actually been to some sort of tantric type events where, you know, people look at me askance because I think... You know, and I want to, like, inquire.
You're not all feel. And it's not all sensation.
Mm. So people have funny ideas about what spirituality is and what tantra is. And, look, I'm certainly not saying that what I say is correct, but it's certainly something that works for me and appeals
to certain... But actually you are, but let's
not...
Let's not pretend otherwise.
You can say that, but I'd feel terribly arrogant if I did.
Well...
Anyway, so who comes to these things? So
couples?
These are these questers. Yes, couples and... singles and just individuals whose partner might not want to come for whatever reason. So at the first one, yes, it was pretty well half and half couples and non-couples, and it was almost half and half male and female.
And all manner of sexual orientations, or do you tend to attract mostly heterosexuals?
Yeah, these ones were all hetero, or mostly hetero, I think.
There's another box that people put themselves into.
Yes, I know some of these people, and I know that some of them, well, they might be, bi-curious is often what some people say, or they might dabble occasionally. But
the point is, it's a very inclusive space. That's what I'm getting
to. Yeah, and anyone can come. I am not interested in what someone's particular sexual orientation is. Yeah, all I'm interested in is people getting real and expressing what's real for them.
Mm. So what do participants get out of an experience like the Tantric Lounge live?
Yes. Even more than from the radio show.
Although
the radio show is the next best thing. So what they get is they get a space in life, right? Because so often we get weighed down by negative energy. Yeah, it's kind of like the energy on Earth is pretty vibrates at a fairly low level. Yeah, especially when it's early in the morning for you, Xavier.
It takes a while for the kundalini to rise, I can tell you.
And it can take, and you know, people often come to a space and they're sort of like, oh, you know, they've got the weights of the world on them and so forth. So I give them permission to set all of that aside. And in this space, we're just going to be ourselves. We're going to explore. And from that, they can get peace, they can get understanding, they can get that upliftment, that zest. And generally, they will be raising their vibration, so to speak, and developing themselves.
So simply put, just the fact that you are creating a time and a place to dedicate yourself to this focus and attention is in itself significant.
Absolutely. And that's why I encourage so much people to find these spaces in their own lives as well, where it's really important that you have some kind of spiritual practice. And when I say spiritual practice, that can manifest as all sorts of things for all sorts of people.
A place to create your own space.
And that can certainly be a sexual interaction. So that, for instance, if a couple come together, they do it with almost like a sense of reverence in a way, right? So they have a beautiful bedroom and they say, this is this time and this space that we're dedicating to us.
It's a bit like going to church.
A little bit,
yeah. Because the same idea of reverence, an idea of hooking into your spirituality as well as your sexuality as well.
Yes.
So obviously then people might have these preconceptions, but it's not a group orgy. You don't have to get naked.
You don't
have to be sexual with other people. You don't even have to be sexual with other people. With your own partner or even with yourself.
No.
Not that. It's not that sort of space.
No. And look, I know that there are some people who run tantric type workshops and so forth where they do get more genital, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to comment on that. I'm sure it's good for some people, but that's not what I do because I'm very aware that we're dealing with energy and so you don't need to be naked and you don't even need to touch each other. And given how fraught sexuality is in our society and how so many of us are sort of a bit kind of not really clear about it, I believe that once you start adding nudity and any kind of obvious genital stuff, it just switches it and then people are sort of in that more of that sleaze mode.
I guess it wouldn't even be necessarily sleaze. It's just a matter of boundaries.
Well, it is about, uncomfortableness and...
I mean, I'm picky about who I have conversations with, Nick, let alone who I would take my clothes off next to.
Yes. And look, I mean, I've done...
Not everybody's as prissy as I am.
No, true. You're very prissy.
I am a bit prissy, yes.
Yes. But I mean, I've done workshops where we've got naked and stuff, but, you know, I know that's right for me and I wouldn't do...
But you haven't run workshops like that?
No, I haven't actually. No. Maybe I will at one stage. But it's very much... I mean, it's horses for courses, and for some people that's great. For other people that's traumatizing.
So given that it is a potential minefield, what do you do to make people comfy?
Yes. Well, it's so important that because I'm the facilitator and I'm holding the space for them, I have a huge responsibility for people energetically. So it's very important that it's a beautiful space. So I create a really lovely space. I certainly have to make sure that I'm in a good space myself. Above all, I can't be bringing any crap into the space. Sit down, welcome everybody, and make sure that people understand what the rules are for this kind of engagement.
Our listeners should be aware that you actually do quite a lot of meditation in your own energy work even before you get into that space. Oh, you do a lot of preparatory work.
Oh, huge.
It's a bit like, I mean, not that you see much on the outside, because when I see you meditating, it's just there you are.
Mm.
But energetically, there's quite a lot going on in terms of clearing junk. It's getting into the right frame of heart, mind, and soul to be able to lead these experiences for people.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't just walk into it.
No. Like, even when I do this radio show, I do a particular type of deep trance meditation to be able to open myself up to allow the wisdom to flow, so to speak.
Allow yourself to access those energies and to access that, that feeling, that life force.
Yeah, and to use some of the cosmic terms, you know, my seventh chakra is open, and it's coming down out through my fifth chakra, which is the voice one. Mm. And I've certainly got the sixth open as well, so I can tune into the intuition. And
I don't do anything like that. I'm just the grounding thing.
You're even awake.
Am I even awake? Well, that's debatable.
But, yeah, so, like, it's absolutely essential. Yeah, in fact, it was interesting you say that, because I got some really nasty email from someone during the week who was absolutely horrified at how much I charge for my workshops. Oh, God, she was so indignant she went out of her way to write this really nasty, spiteful email to me. And, how can you charge as much? And I was just sort of thinking, wow, lady, you have no idea about what has gone into my personal development to get me to a point where I can do this kind of work. Yeah, and no one was paying me to do any of that. You know, when I sit down, when I go into deep meditation, when I go into deep trance, or when I'm sort of raising the orgasmic energy myself, you know, it's hard work.
Like the TV repairman who charges $5 for turning a screw to repair the TV, but $95 for the years of experience to find that and solve that problem really quickly.
Yes, absolutely.
And we'll just go to a break and after that we're going to discuss exactly what happens in the Tantric Lounge Live, the exercises you've put people through.
Yes, it's going to be interesting. So stay tuned, please, listeners.
Sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-sized ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
What if you were willing to be controversial, choosing kindness instead of judgment, willing to stand out from the crowd, being a leader in creating a new reality, even if others don't follow? You can make a difference. Start by tuning in to The Value of Controversy. Each week, our hosts will bring you the tools to help create the world that you want to live in and explore what's possible when you choose from the controversy of consciousness. Listen for The Value of Controversy every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Want more positivity in your life? Are you ready to get healthy, happy, and energized? Join the Stella Donna Goddess Gals, Cynthia Bryan, and Heather Brittany for a power hour of stimulating, supportive conversation on Star Style, Be the Star You Are. A lineup of best-selling authors, celebrities, and experts join the effervescent mother-daughter dynamic duo in this upbeat, positive, life-changing talk radio playground. Star Style, Be the Star You Are, Wednesdays, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Lend us your ears. It's power time.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
Hi, welcome back to The Tantric Lounge. I'm Jacqueline Hellier here with my co-host, Xavier Watercane. And we're talking about what happened in my very first ever Tantric Lounge Live.
And to give people a sense of what actually goes on.
Yes. Yep.
People, the most fun you can have with your clothes on.
Absolutely.
So what happens actually in this group of 20-odd people that you have in this wonderful space that they're dedicating to getting in touch with themselves and each other?
Yes.
Without actually getting touchy.
Yes. So I do this lovely introductory exercise that works really well. And essentially everyone's standing in a circle. And we peel off and one person turns to the person next to them. And for about 10, 20 seconds, they have a little chat. And then they move on to the next one and the next one and the next one. And we go all the way around the circle so that everyone has a chance to have a quick little hello with each person. Then interestingly, what happens is that the circle continues and you get to go face to face with everyone twice. So the second time I ask people to simply gaze into each other's eyes. There's no talking. So the first time people get a chance to connect in a way that we're more used to doing, which is verbal, hello, how are you? Yes, have we met before? You know, blah, blah, just a really little short chat. The second time it's purely energetic. It's just about being in that space. So we've overcome the discomfort of, oh, who is this person? I don't want to stand in front of someone I've never met before.
You've broken the ice.
We've broken the ice. They know this person. They can come back and they're like, oh, hello. But it's just hello with the energy. And that when they do that, and so when they're standing in front of, you know, 20 different people and just feeling their energy, you can start to sink into yourself. You can start to sink into the space between you and the other person. And you start to become more aware of feeling and the energy of a different person and how that feels. So that's always my introductory exercise.
And then what happens?
Well, the first part, well, I'll tell you what we did in this last one, okay? Because it's going to be different every time. So breath, as I've stressed before so often in the third part of the shows, the breath is so important as a way of getting present into your body. And the breath is really important as a way of moving sexual energy within your body. So we do some breathing. And when we do that breathing, and we'll go into this breathing more at the end of this show, I want it to be the take-home practice, mm-hmm. right? You're going to join me in that?
Oh, sure. Why not? I'll try anything once.
Yeah.
Twice if I really like it. Three times if I'm hooked.
Thank you. Remember, this show's all about me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So you breathe in. And as you breathe in, you're expanding your body. You're following the breath as it comes into your body. You're aware of the breath in your nostril. You're aware of it as it fills up your belly, fills up your diaphragm. You're drawing it deep into your pelvis. You're letting it go out. Then we add some rocking to that. And then we add some sound on the out breath. And then we work with it and we have a sense of drawing energy up our bodies with the in-breath and then drawing it down on the out breath. And by that stage, people are sort of feeling, whoa, you know, like we're feeling kind of peaceful but heightened at the same time. So you're getting this really good sense of the yin and the yang. Mm-hmm. The yin is that very grounded, I'm here, I'm centered, I'm calm. And from there, we can start to put in some yang energy, which is that uplifting sensation. Huh? Mm-hmm. We practice the microcosmic circuit with a partner.
Which we've already met in past programs.
We have indeed, and that's where the energy goes specifically around. And we use our partner will touch us lightly or even just guide us energetically through that circuit. And then something really special happens. What we do then is we get all the men to stand in a circle, right? And we get them to do this kind of breathing. They're either doing the microcosmic circuit or they're just breathing, whatever feels right for them. So there's this whole circle of, you know, about a dozen men standing around. And then I invite the women to go into the circle and to just feel what that's like. And it feels awesome. I'm really lucky because whenever I run my black belt in the bedroom seminar for men, I always get them to do this. And I'm often the only woman there. I might have an assistant as well and get to stand in the middle of this circle of all these men just being completely present. And oh my God, it's just like bathing in masculine energy. It's masculine energy that's not intense, which is what, as I have said recently in our programs about men, often the energy is too intense, which makes a woman shy away. Oh no, these men are so present, they're calm, they're holding the space, and it's beautiful. And as a woman, you can just really go into that circle and you just let go, and oh, it is. It's like being bathed in masculine energy. It's beautiful. Yeah. And then we swap. We have the women do the same thing, and the men can come in. And
they get to bathe in feminine energy.
They get to bathe in feminine energy and the softness and, you know, just let that wash over them. And it's beautiful. And then we break into little groups and have a bit of a chat about, you know, how that whole experience has been, what people got out of it. Then we can share with the whole group if people feel like sharing. And that's a really... spine shivering experience.
We have a question.
Oh, do we?
Yes. It says Peter from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'm so envious of you people in Sydney. Your tantric lounge sounds awesome. Do you know of anything like this here in Philadelphia?
Right. Yes. People often ask me questions like that. Do you know of anything like this? Or is there anyone like you near me? And look, I don't know. I don't know everybody in the world. So what I suggest you do is just Google it, you know, search engine it. And see if there is anything like this around in your area. I know there's plenty of people who do this kind of work in the States. And then you need to trust your intuition as whether you feel some kind of resonance with this person, because if you don't, doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It just means they're not a good match for you. Mm. Yeah, maybe go along to an event or go and meet them.
People have to respect that specificity. It's early in the morning for me. I know it's afternoon for the people in the States, but it's morning for me. The specificity,
yes,
of an experience, especially when you're going into a learning experience, you need to think, okay, it's about me. It's also about them, the interactions. You're not necessarily judging them as being inadequate or even yourself as being inadequate if the match isn't right. It just seems to me, it just means the match isn't right.
Yes, yes. And you have to honour your intuition around that too. Yes.
And also honour your intuition when it says this match is right. Whatever else anybody might be thinking or saying about this experience, it feels right for you in that moment. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes.
Emma from Cottesloe from Perth. I had a friend who went to a tantric women's retreat and they had to do a group masturbation.
Yes.
Okay. My friend said it was fine, but I wouldn't want to do that. It sounds revolting.
Yeah. I'm with you on that,
that
Emma.
Is that necessary, do you think? Much as we're a non-judgmental program, that is a bit on the extreme side.
I personally don't think that's necessary. But if other people want to engage in group masturbation and if they see that as a spiritual experience, good luck for them. But what I really want to stress is that's why it's so important that you get a feel for the facilitator. You know,
energetically.
And that you know what actually is going to happen. That's why I stress on all of my promotions and stuff that this is classy, it's sleaze-free, you keep your clothes on, there's no actual sex or anything like that. Even in my couples workshops, you know, my retreats, that's all homework.
Which they're happy to do in the privacy of their own bungalows.
Yes,
or whatever,
absolutely. Yes, and I'd be horrified to think that there were any facilitators who just sort of thrust this on people unknowingly.
So to speak.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I mean, whenever you do something like this, you might encounter something that is a little like, oh, my God, I don't know if I want to do this. And, again, it's very important that you honour your intuition and identify, is it that actually this is something I could do, I'm just a bit scared to do, but I actually intuitively feel if I push my boundaries a bit and do it, I will benefit from it.
Which leads into another question.
Can I just finish? Yeah. Sure. Or is this something that is actually innately wrong for me and could be traumatic? In which case, don't do it. You can always sit out of things.
And on that exact wavelength, right, is this right, is this wrong?
Yeah.
Samantha from Pueblo in Colorado. I'd like to think I was brave to do something like this, But when I think about it, so much fear comes up. What if I had to do something that I hated? What if one of the male participants did something awful? I've had a lot of bad experiences with men starting from childhood. I don't think I could trust them in this kind of situation. I'd feel too vulnerable.
Yes.
I guess that's where the skill of the facilitator comes in.
Yes. And for some, sorry, what was her name?
Samantha.
Samantha, yeah. Look, for someone like Samantha who has had a lot of trauma or unpleasant experiences around sexuality, I'd really be encouraging that she or anyone in that situation does a little bit of therapy, sex therapy or so forth first, just to check that they might be okay with it, or very much let the facilitator know that they've got this background, because you want to be in a pretty good space to be doing this kind of work. And if there are things hidden in there, if there is trauma in the background, it can surface.
Mm.
Yeah.
And
it can make it worse if you're not sort of aware of what's going on.
So you're advising people to do their own preparatory work before they go into this space as well. If they have any trepidation because of past trauma or bad experiences, get a little therapy happening first.
Yes.
Do a little bit more baby steppy type of thing before you dive in at the deep end. Not that it's all that a deep end in the tantric, but it might be, relatively speaking, for
some people. Yeah. And so because I am a sex therapist as well as a tantra teacher, I can provide that for people, you know, and quite often I'll have people as clients before they'll do a workshop with me.
And you do actually Skype sessions too. So you're not limited by geography or time differences to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen you do stuff all over the place.
And also sometimes people will do a workshop and then from doing the workshop they realise there's stuff that they need to deal with. And so then they'll come and see me for private sessions afterwards.
So it can work both ways. You prepare yourself before you do a workshop, then that brings up other stuff. You go back into the small amount of therapy or coaching or whatever it is that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it can go back and forth every time, I'm assuming, with some improvement in the way of relating to the world and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Also in the tantric workshop you do, because there are some exercises that even though everybody's got their clothes on and nobody's touching that, it might be confronting, like you do the feel the penis exercise where men are feeling their own penises, not literally with their hands, but energetically.
Yes.
And taking them for a walk.
And
as we introduced a couple of weeks ago with the...
And the women are too.
And the women are feeling their vaginas.
No.
No.
Oh, well, yes.
Well,
so
yes.
The particular exercise I think you're referring to is I got everybody to feel their penises. So the women were feeling them energetically.
Oh, they're energetic penises.
Yeah, so they're lying on their back. The men are getting in touch with their actual penises, the women with their energetic penises, and I'm sort of talking them through. So it was almost like a blessing. It's like an honouring of the male genitalia, and then they'll sort of wander around to see what it's like.
Or even that piece of anatomy, because the clitoris is actually a small penis.
Yes, well, and then we do it with the vagina.
Organically.
Yeah, then we do the same thing and the women get present with their vaginas and clitorises and the men,
with their
vagina as well.
Yeah.
And then everyone wanders around again. And it's kind of interesting, certainly what came up on this particular occasion was when everybody was wandering around present in their penises, they felt quite...
Their penis vaginas.
No, just the penises.
Oh, just the penises.
Just the penises. They felt quite a lot of antagonism and as though everyone was the same magnetic end. So
there was
kind of like repulsion.
North meeting each other.
Yeah, the positive. Yeah. And there was a bit of, repulsion. And it was kind of interesting for the guys because a lot of them sort of said, whoa, this is really bringing home to me how often as men we, there's that standoff kind of a thing. Because then when everyone was in their vaginas, it was really soft and flowy and there was a real ease about it. So then what I said is, okay, let's get back into our actual genitals, depending on our sex, on our gender, and for the men to really get into that sense, as I've described before, of being strong on the outside, soft on the inside and opening up. So as they wandered around the room and met everybody else, they were meeting with their yin while still having the strong yang supporting them. And it was very different. And, the women were in their yin, strong inner yang, outer yin, and it was a really beautiful experience and very, very different from this kind of closed off yang kind of sensation. And after that, I have to tell everybody about what we did after that.
Sure,
this wonderful thing. It was like a ritual. And I had a whole bunch of mandarins. So I put them in the middle of the room and the women sat around them in a circle and the men stood around the women.
Mandarin, for the American listeners, think tangerine.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
It's a different word.
Yeah, it's a different
word,
yeah. They think mandarin is tangerine. Orange is still orange. I don't know whether they know anything about tangelos.
Well, anyway, so like...
Whatever. It's a small citrus fruit,
yes,
with an easy peel.
Easy peel. And really sweet and
really
juicy.
Really sweet, yes. Yeah. Whatever you call it, that's what it was.
Yeah. Wherever you are in the world, that's what we're talking about, little orange fruits. Yes, okay. And as the women were to sort of focus on the fruit and to put into the fruit their feminine energy, that lovely balance of the yin and the yang, and each woman stated a word which represented something like a gift of femininity that they wanted to put into it, right? And so we did that for a little bit. Then each woman took one of the little green, little orange citrus fruits. And then the men did the same thing. This time they had bananas, right? I know it's a bit cliche, but it was good. And they did the same thing. They were sort of imbuing the bananas with their masculine energy. Each man stated a word, which was like a gift of what they wanted to put into the bananas. At the end, they took a banana. And then everybody paired off and they shared their fruit. Right?
So literally.
Literally. Yes, and they offered the fruit to the other. So for people who were there with their partners, with their beloveds, it was often like, here's a gift from me to you. For people who weren't necessarily partnered, it could have been more around, I represent the universal woman, you represent the universal man, here is a gift from woman to man sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they could do it however they liked. And afterwards, the feedback from that, like a lot of people, you know, were in tears or... had some really big breakthroughs around that.
Who would have thought that bananas and tangerines could be so emotive?
Yeah, and just that.
But it's not that, it's the energetics.
Yes, it was. And for a lot of people it was just like, wow, how beautiful to ritualise this gift of the masculine and the feminine. Yeah, it was really beautiful.
So not only do people get in touch with their sexuality, they also get to eat.
Yes. And then we finish with supper. But.
And we'll explore more of this after the break.
We will indeed. Stay tuned.
Listen for The Yoga of Money, Creating Wealth and Abundance for the Modern Yogi. Host Jeff Bogart is one of a few select financial advisors in the country who fully understands the connection between yoga, money, wealth, and abundance. Jeff offers time-tested advice about growing wealth the smart way, the yoga way. The Yoga of Money bridges the gap between the spiritual and material world. Tune in for The Yoga of Money every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-sized ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment. Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions at thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
Hi, welcome back. It's the Tantric Lounge, and you're here with me, Jacqueline Hellier, and my co-host, Xavier Watercane. And we've been talking about the Tantric Lounge Live, what goes on in an actual Tantric workshop.
Yes, and fruit as well.
Yes, there's a fair bit of fruit involved. Beautiful, juicy fruit.
And a place where I think they grow some of the stuff is Tina from Houma, Louisiana. Maybe that's, maybe I'm reading that wrong. This sounds great, but there's no way my husband would do this. He's so jealous. I can't even look at another man without him getting mad, let alone doing all this with other men. He says, yes. It's normal for men to be this jealous, and it's because he loves me so much.
All right.
Do you think that's true? And does that mean that the men who go to your events don't really love their wives and girlfriends? Okay.
I think we could probably do an entire show around that topic. But the short answer is, there is a difference between love and possessiveness. And love does not equal possessiveness, and certainly possessiveness does not equal love. A couple are two individuals who come together out of love because that enhances their individuality and they grow as individuals and as a couple. That does not mean that one owns the other, and that if the other does anything with the opposite sex, then they're threatened.
A lot of jealousy is born from a feeling of insecurity.
Yes. Absolutely. It's all around insecurity. And one of the things that you do develop doing this kind of work generally is a stronger sense of self and a much greater ability to trust that you're okay and your partner's okay, because you actually get closer to your partner. You become more open, you become more honest. And in fact, when you go around and so, for instance, if you're doing exercises where you feel the energy of other people in the room, which will include other people of the opposite sex, that you can understand men or women better. You can feel their energy better, and you can bring that back into your relationship to enhance your relationship.
This sounds like the sort of couple that probably needs a bit of therapy before they do a workshop.
Yes, indeed.
Couples therapy, relationship therapy.
Yes, and I'd be saying to someone like Tina, is it Tina?
Yes.
See, over time, couples will grow. The individuals within the couple will grow. And sometimes one grows more than the other, right? And I often see that it comes to a point where a couple have to realise, or generally the more developed spiritually or personally developed, more energetically developed partner has to admit that their partner isn't enough for them energetically anymore. And it's just really upsetting for the lower energy partner as well. So if you can't bring your partner up with you, they're always going to be unhappy. They're always going to be frustrated. They don't get where you're at.
Which will actually just exacerbate this
problem. And it exacerbates the problem.
Because there's already an intuition on the part of one of the partner that they need to grow and develop, and that the other one isn't catching up.
Yes.
Which will make the slower partner or the lower energy partner feel very insecure.
Yes.
And even more jealous.
Yes, and it's kind of unfair on them in a way, right? Because they can't actually understand where their partner has grown to. You generally can't get higher than you. You don't understand it. It's like a foreign land, right? All that they know is that it's different and they feel insecure. And so if you are the higher developed partner, you have the choice of either keeping yourself low, like having an anchor on yourself so that you don't grow and develop, or cutting yourself free and cutting your partner free.
But the question being that do the men who go to your events don't really love their wives and girlfriends?
Oh, quite the opposite. You can only do this kind of work if you have a genuine, deep love and respect for your partner, because what you're doing is you're saying, we're on this journey together.
And I trust you to come along for that journey with me.
Yes, because if we do this together, we'll both go somewhere glorious.
Bill from Newcastle. I went to one of your black belt in the bedroom seminars earlier this year. It made a real difference. Until then, I hadn't realized how disconnected I was. I thought that because I had the drive that was enough. That meant I was connected. now that I know what being present and connected really feels like, it's a whole different ball game.
Mm.
No pun intended, I'm sure. I'm a big fan of your blogs and podcasts. I haven't been to one of your live lounges yet, but I sure as hell listen to your every radio program. But that's very nice of you, Bill.
Mm. Mm. Thank you, Bill.
So what's this? So what's the? So what's this? The question there. It's more. It's more about connectedness again, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we covered a lot of this in last week's program, Blackboard in the Bedroom. But it relates to that last question too. Is that often people don't know what they don't know, right? And you can think that you're connected. You can think that you've got you're having good sex or good enough sex, or that you're not jealous or whatever. But until you actually move to that next level of consciousness and awareness and understanding, a higher energetic frequency, you don't know. Which is why I always admire people who will admit, I'm questing, I'm a seeker, I want to know more. I don't necessarily know what I don't know, I just know that there's got to be more, and I'm willing to explore and see what that might be.
It always starts with that primary intuition. There must be something more than this.
Absolutely, there must be. And certainly anyone listening to this program, anyone who comes to the Empowerment Channel to listen to these programs, not just mine, everyone else's, whether we're talking sex or money or lifestyle or whatever the other programs are, yeah, there's got to be more. And I'm willing to take a risk to go into what for me is the unknown, where I will be vulnerable, where it's a bit scary, right, and see what I can learn, see how I can grow.
And important to that is to realise that is to have these places where you're safe to grow. Mm.
Yes. And so I think we should stress again, like in answer to some of the other questions we've had today, how important it is that you have a good feeling about your facilitator and that they feel right for you.
Or your counsellor or your coach.
Well, anyone,
or your therapist.
Anyone in a helping profession.
Anyone in your environment, really. When you think about it.
And very much your partner, you know, like to come back to, you know, Tina's question. Certainly, I'm certainly not saying, Tina, leave your partner, because I do not know enough from one tiny little question. But, yeah, your partner, if you are in a committed relationship, your partner has to be, you know, your equal or more, someone who can help you grow.
How do you get past that partner inequality mismatch? There really are only two alternatives, really, aren't there?
One is that you get your partner to grow with you, or no, there's three.
Oh, okay.
One is that you get your partner to grow with you. Two is to realise that they're not going to, and to end it, preferably with love and understanding, which you can have because you're more developed. They may not have it. They may have bitterness and recrimination and hatred because they don't get it. The third one is to keep yourself anchored, to keep yourself down at their level, to keep them happy.
Which is the default option for a lot of people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for a lot of people will do that. They think it's more important that they stay with their partner than that they actually do what's right for themselves and grow.
Out of loyalty, commitment, all of those things.
Oh, and a lot of social norms. And, you know, let's be honest, out of, well, hey, it's going to be a financial disaster if we separate, or I think it might be better for the kids if we stay together, or, you know, family won't support it, or people will think, you know, I'm selfish if I leave this person who's basically a good person, even though they're boring as batshit and jealous as anything and we've got nothing in common anymore, or whatever it is that's indicating to you.
I wonder where that came from.
That is indicating to you that you're not on the same, literally, it's a common phrase we use, we're not on the same wavelength anymore. And I am quite happy to be hierarchical about that and say that quite often one person has grown more than the other. They are operating at a higher spiritual frequency than their partner is.
And for the people that are willing to go down the tantric lounge type experience, whether it's with you or with anyone else, what else will happen in a tantric lounge that people can
take? Well, the retreats that I run and this the tantric lounge that I'm now running as well.
So what happened? What else happened at the first one?
Well, I've covered pretty well most of it. These things generally progress at a fairly slow pace, right, because they are quite deep. So after we did that beautiful ritual with the fruit, we formed a circle again. We didn't hold hands, we touched hands. left palm forward, right palm facing backwards, mm-hmm. and we shared energy. And the way we did that was for the men to start by, with their positive pole, which is their sexual centers, drawing the energy up, allowing it to ignite their heart centers and sending that energy down their left arm. Mm-hmm. And the person next to them would bring it up their right arm. So it would travel around the circle. And for the women to start with their breast energy, their heart energy, and to use the strength of that to draw up their sexual energy and do the same thing. We did that for a while. Then we separate our hands. Then we separate our hands just an inch or so. And it's really interesting. Often the feeling gets more powerful when you're actually not physically touching, right? So we did that for a while. And then we just turned to a partner and I had this beautiful music playing, and it's kind of like we did an energetic dance. It's sort of like a little massage of the aura where we're sort of almost like dancing and moving around each other with our hands caressing the aura. So not touching them, but our hands just a few inches away from their body, and oh, it was all really lovely.
And now we've got another lovely exercise.
Yes.
That the listeners can take with them.
Yes, yes. So I thought I'd use one of the exercises that we did do at the Tantric Lounge Live and share it with the listeners here. It's very much in line with what we have been doing anyway in terms of the breath and learning to draw it up. So I invite everybody who isn't operating heavy machinery, which includes driving a car, to sit comfortably or lie down. You can stand as well. And just to get present in your body with your breath, noticing the feeling of the breath as it goes in through your nostrils, being aware of the breath as it's traveling down and filling up the whole of your torso from the pelvis upwards. It's filling your pelvis. You're drawing it all the way into your pelvis. You're drawing it into your abdomen, into your diaphragm, into your chest, filling it up and then slowly letting it flow out. Right. And this becomes a very circular kind of a sensation, like a wave lapping on the shore. Okay, so you're breathing in. And remember, hopefully some of you have downloaded that ding music from the M-Braining website. So you get that every 6 seconds, you get that ding. You're breathing in for 6 seconds and then ding, you're breathing out for 6 seconds. All right. Now, as you're doing that, I want you to start just gently rocking a little bit. So as you're breathing in, you're just rocking your pelvis and your body forward a little bit. And then on the out breath, you're sort of collapsing it a little.
So in, forward.
In, allowing your body to move forward.
And out. Exhaling.
It's more of a collapse.
Flaps.
So you really want to be sort of lifting up through your torso and then collapsing it down a little.
Gotcha.
Right? So it's kind of like your spine's concaving and convexing. Now, have I got it the wrong way around? So on the in-breath, as you straighten
convexing.
Up, it's convexing a little and you're standing tall, you're feeling you're rising up, and then on the out-breath, you're allowing your spine to go a little concave, your tummy collapses, you're drawing back. Mm-hmm. And as you're doing this, you're getting this nice rocking sensation with your pelvis. All right. So it's going to breathe in. So let's all do that together for a little while. And as you do it, you might find that your breathing is speeding up just a little bit. You can actually do this quite quickly. It's called the fire breath when you do it really quickly. All right. And then as you're breathing in, I want you to get a sense that you're drawing energy up from your sexual center down. You're bringing it up and then letting it flow down. You're bringing it up, letting it flow down. And you might want to actually move your body in some other way. What do your hands want to do? Yeah, do your hands want to float out or do they just want to hang? Do your shoulders need to move a little bit? And, oh, Xavier, you look like you want to fly as you're moving backwards and forwards.
I'm looking a bit like Kermit the Frog when he was saying, and now here's everybody next.
Waves that lovely around. Looseness but in your arms years, as you're moving backwards and forwards, right? And so up, lifting up, relaxing down, breathing in and allowing it to flow down. All right, and you might actually be able to incorporate it if you've been practicing that cosmic circuit that we did, where you're actually physically drawing up the energy, using your pelvic floor to squeeze and bring it up the back, and then on the out breath, yep, you're allowing it to flow down the front, okay, keeping your tongue up on the soft palate. So breathing it up and allowing it to flow down. Breathing it up and allowing it to flow down. How are you feeling there, Xavier?
Like a dying swan.
Like And it's good that you're just allowing yourself to be whatever it happens to be. All right. Because when you're doing this in a large group of people, everyone's kind of looking sort of silly, right? And the only people who are missing out are the ones who are getting self-conscious or thinking, oh, God, I look like a dying swan. I don't want to be doing this.
I don't care.
You don't care, no. And you can do this on your own. You can do this with a partner. And then to add to this, we can actually start using our voice, because quite often we have a sense that our bodies want to make a noise on the out-breath. So as you breathe in, you go, ah, that's right. Just allowing the, allowing on the out, whatever it happens to be. And sometimes it can sound really ecstatic. Sometimes it can sound, yes, indeed. Sometimes it can be high. And sometimes it can be low and you just want to grunt and just let it all out. And that's, and you just, and you get the whole group can start going, it's a bit like Harry Met Sally, and it's just like, but you're not putting it on, you're just allowing whatever natural feeling wants to come out. And I think that Xavier's really flying off in his swan. He's gone into some kind of growly, trancy spin there. So I'm just going to close up on behalf of both of us. We're just going to stay in this nice, ecstatic, trancy thing for a little bit longer. I do hope that you practice this yourselves in your own time. And we will join you again next week, where we'll be talking secret women's business. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
Thank you again for stepping inside the Tantric Lounge. Please join your host, Jacqueline Hillier, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now, go try something you've learned this week.